Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Babies.
Hip Hop Babies! Yeah!
You know, I got my boy Ray with me, as always. We got a special guest today, man. We got Spooky in the house. Show some love to Spooky. He loves yeet, couldn't tell. He's an opium fiend. But we had to bring him in for this Ken Carson review. We're reviewing A Great Chaos. Spooky, I just want you to just tell the people a little bit of something about your expertise. I know that you know a couple of things. That's why I brought you in here. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have you today. So I just want you to know what you know about Ken Carson, what you know about opium. Where'd your love for opium start?
So my love for, I want to say, opium would be with Playboi Carti, of course. He dropped Whole Lot Red, and I thought that shit was some ass. And he taught me to really listen to music before I give it, like, an exact opinion. And my first listen, I hated that album. I gave that shit, like, 4 more listens, and it's my, like, favorite, like, album by Carti by far. So I started with Carti, and I started really, like, diving into that music. And I went into, like, Yeats. I went into Lone. I went into Can. I just went into all that shit. I was really into Lone for a really good period of time. I was really into Yeat in a good period of time, and now I'm really into Ken. This album, bro, like, AGC clears damn near anything this motherfucker dropped. It's just straight heat. I'm really, like, appreciating this album for what it is. I like how individualized Ken's sound in Opium is. It's a lot different than Lone's, but it still has some elements of, like, all the other rappers on that label. I've just been, like, analyzing it, bumping that shit in my car, my way to work.
The car speaker test, man. Does it slap, bro? It's the Bay Area test, man. It does. It got some slappers on here, man. I'm not going to lie. I like the Rage sound. I like the beat selection on here. That was one thing that me and Ray was agreeing on the entire time. We was listening to it. Head always nodding, always tapped in with that sound. But I was trying to get into what is that distinction from Destroy Lonely and Yeet. And I was hoping, Spooky, that you could spell out that distinction for me. Because I'm struggling to see it. There's obviously some distinction.
So you're saying that Lone and Ken kind of, like, blend in with each other?
Yeah, coming from Whole Lotta Red, which is, you know, the start of it. And then he brought them under his wing. And then what have they done since? I'm trying to see where they're breaking off from Carti and where they deliver their own message that is different enough to, like, grab somebody's attention like yours.
So I feel like with Carti's sound, his sound, I feel like, is always changing, always evolving. You saw his recent song with Travis Scott, Fiend. He had a completely different voice than what he usually has, like, especially Whole Lot Red. So his voice is always changing. So I feel like with Ken and Lone, I'm going to look at Lone specifically. Lone, when he started out, he sounds a lot different than his most recent album. I'm going to say that I like old Lone better than I like new Lone. New Lone just sounds, like, slow, melodic, and he's very just chilled. He's very chilled out. He's not a rager like Carti and Ken right now. And Ken, he's kind of always been, like, a rock star type shit, you know? He's always trying to, like, get in that mood, talking about, you know, recently, me and my cup, motherfucker drinking lean, and he has crazy-ass beats to go with the crazy shit he's talking about.
Those are my favorite beats.
That's just Ken, like, 24/7. With Ken, though, he's good at mixing it, though. His first song, Green Room, it's slow. We're chilling out, beginning of the album, you know, in the middle of the album, it's just hard as hell, and then at the end, it's nice and slow. It just, like, evens out. The difference between Ken and Lone right now is Lone is just all slow.
I'm agreeing with Spooky a little bit, actually. At least as far as the differences. I think that Ken Carson is way more energetic. The beats are on 10. I think No Stylist had moments like that. I think that's what the album's called, right? And the big single, right? On Lonely's album. And then If Looks Could Kill, he got totally into the I'm too cool for school, too laid back. And that's one thing I did appreciate about this album. It was on 10 for the most part. Even the single I Need You, right? It's a love song, but it's on 10. He's talking about how they on drugs and they doing all this crazy stuff. There was energy on this. I'll say that. There's a big difference. This album, A Great Chaos, even though I'm not a big fan of this album, I'm gonna just make that clear. The tracks that I like and I do see the appeal, there's a difference between this and X for surely. He took a step. I give him his props for that.
I mean, I haven't listened to a bunch of Ken Carson. I'm going to be honest. I've listened to Destroy Lonely since, like, you know, 2019, 2020, right around the time when Carti was dropping, just because I knew about him and I knew that, you know, he had something cooking in SoundCloud. And I really liked what Destroy Lonely did in his SoundCloud run with a lot of his leaks and stuff. You know, he suffers the opium curse of they got a fucking operative in there that's releasing everybody's music. And that just happens to him.
But, even this album. This album was leaked.
They need to clean the house. Yeah, y'all got some backstabbers in there, but I think it's cool, like, what Lone used to do. And then, like you saying, like, he did get a little bit slower. I think that him doing that is not necessarily a bad thing, but he needs to get deeper if he's going to do something like that. You know, he needs to draw you in some lyrical content. I think that's the same thing that Ken lacks lyrics, but the way that he keeps with the energy and the way that he keeps with the flow, he's changing the flows up. I don't necessarily think it's like super cool, but like, I get what you mean. Like, you know, he's just talking about like not giving a fuck, him and his cup, he with his bitch, he with his 36-year-old MILF, like whatever he talking about, bro. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's how he keeps you entertained, man. He's funny. I can see how he is different enough from Cardi to capture an ear for sure. I just wanted to ask you that because I feel like when I first started listening to it, I did not see much of any difference from Playboi Carti. If not, I felt like it was a worse version of Playboi Carti at times.
But I used to feel the same way about Lil Baby and Gunna until you actually sit and listen. And with them, luckily, I mean, at least for Lil Baby, he wasn't on the same label. But, you know, obviously, he pays homage to Young Thug in certain ways, right? And then Gunna, obviously, he was on the label. They've done a bunch of songs together. What I saw with Gunna is that he started to differentiate himself over time. And I'm starting to see that with Kid Carson a little bit. Because I feel like with those artists, they already kind of... I think Ken, and I think that's going to come with the lyrics. I'm not trying to say he has to be lyrical, but sometimes I'm not going to... I guess repetitive. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I mean, I'm the oldest guy here, right? He's talking about hoes, money. That's literally his lyrical content. That, he has an appeal and he does it so like to the point of like, that's his thing to where it's like, okay, it's fine, right? But sometimes like, just switch it up a little bit. Now, I Need You was kind of like that. And some of the songs on here, he kind of switched it up, but it did get repetitive for me. I don't know about y'all.
What do you think, Spooky? Because I know that you like the little earwigs and those little one-off bars and you just be saying them whenever they come to your mind. So does he differentiate the bars enough for you? You got enough quotables, anything like
that? Yeah, so I feel like with Ken introduces this style of rap where he is constantly like adding bars and bars and bars and bars. Now sometimes they mean absolutely fuck all, right? No one knows what he's saying, right? But sometimes, you know, he just adds bars and bars and bars, talking about to hit his bitch with his fucking finisher, bro. Like he's from Mortal Kombat, right? He's just talking about random shit and it like lands sometimes and those like stick out. But he constantly like hits those bars over and over and over again. And then it comes in with this chorus and then he does those bars over and over and over. I feel like it doesn't stop. With Lone, it's so distinct when he's doing his verse because he changes up like his whole flow and then like lays it on you. But he's also kind of talking about none. Yes, I feel like Ken and Lone are like similar where they're talking about the same shit, but then they have those like one or two bars where they like stick with you. But I feel like with Lone, his is slower and more methodical and Ken's just trying to like make you have this reaction where you're like, holy shit, that was hard as fuck.
Yes, some of the lines did give me those moments though, like with the video game references or you know, the way he says it is so animated. And that's what I love about this. It seems like he's getting comfortable showing himself more with the content as far as doing videos. He just did the video with Lyrical Lemonade, right? Yep. And that's what I had an issue before too. Like it was just like hard songs. And then the videos, like he started doing that kind of with X, but it's like they weren't putting it out. Heck, I think he's starting to be comfortable being a bigger artist. And you see that with the sales with this project. People are starting to know who Ken is. And I think that's cool to see because as Opium, I think as the artist and Opium get more attention, they'll eventually figure out where they want to go. They're starting to realize what works for them in sales and with the reception. Because I think this album's getting a better reception too.
You talking about the video game references. He even references the stuff in his beats, I feel like a lot of times, you know, a lot of stuff that he picks reminds me of, you know, just somebody who's around our age who played, you know, like Nintendo 8-bit games back in the day. And he remixing that shit, making a rage beat. I appreciate him for stuff like that. I think he's got a good ear and I think that he's got a good sound palette. I think that it's really easy to find that, to be in that and like vibe like that. And that's like a curating skill, like a West Side Gun type skill. And it's not necessarily like a rapper skill because I think that, you know, he's just over there. He's just vibing.
I don't agree right there. See, ahead, there is a skill to knowing what beats fit your voice. And that was something I did note. I think Nightcore, he had like a distorted beat kind of. It was like slapping to the point where it sounded like it's getting distorted. And then his voice, it added because his voice was kind of high and it kind of added to the distortion as well. Like he knows how to match a tone, a vibe to a point where, you know, some artists you see their voice doesn't sound good with the beat. So he at least knows how to do that consistently. One thing that didn't bore me was the production was versatile. Sometimes it slowed up, but it was still ragey. Sometimes it sped up and it was like crazy. Like, how are you going to rap on this? And he found a pocket for his flow. Does that make sense? I think you've seen what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I'm not trying to be negative because I see with the lyrical content, he is lacking. He's not trying to sell that right now. And you totally see it with the way he just says out of pocket line. Like Spooky was saying, it's like, it's just what comes to him and makes it flow. That's what he does. He's not thinking about, does this connect all the way? He's just like, does it flow and does it sound hard? A lot of times it does sound hard. I'm overselling it. Not a lot of sometimes it sounds hard.
I agree with that a lot. I also feel like with specifically when it comes to his beats and stuff and like how he finds his way throughout his beat and he's like rapping on it, it's very different. Like the way he changes his voice to match the beat is like super like versatile in like his flow. His flow and the beat is what makes the song, not the lyrics. Sometimes it was really hard for me at first to get into that style of rap. I feel like getting into just worrying about beats and flow. We all know that your voice is also an instrument, right? And that contributes to the beat and the song. So I feel like when you just listen to like how he's like unenunciating his words and all that shit, that's what I feel like means the most in his songs. That's what I get from his songs. But also like with Ken, his personality really shows throughout his songs. I feel like a lot of rappers really are able to show who they really are through their music. And Ken also just throughout like interviews and all that really shows his personality in general. He's very good at just expressing himself. And he does a really good job doing that throughout this whole album. I feel like that's what makes his album a lot more special than the previous projects that he dropped before.
A lot of people were like, where's Great Chaos? Where's, you know, where's it at? And he's been basically saying like, hold up. And then he finally dropped it. Was it worth it, you think?
I think it was well worth the wait. I really appreciate just him being like, hold up, let me make this first, you know, instead of just dropping in, people being like, oh, this is garbage, and then his career tanking just from there, you know. And I feel like this really like picked up his career and really like introduced him to a wider audience. Rather than sticking to like this cult fan base in Opium, he's kind of now just like branched off and has made almost his own little thing with like his music.
Artists nowadays, I feel like, are able to connect with people a little bit better just because we've grown up with the internet and we get more people that are like our age. We just have an easier time navigating, you know, the digital space and connecting with people. And I think that creating your own brand and moving your own sound is becoming easier and easier nowadays, especially when you're moving under Cardi. You already kind of have people knowing what your lane is, and then you evolve off of that. I mean, you already got some of that clout. You know, I mean, you just plant the seed that's flourishing at that point. So mad props to Ken Carson, man. I'm not trying to hate on him or nothing. Also, I'm not a lyrical snob either. Future is one of my favorite artists of all time.
It's different. It's a little bit. It's like with Yeet. You had that problem with Yeet too, where you felt like the lyrics are just nothing.
So then it's like I have to connect with them enough to where I can like listen to the flow, right? And there's other rappers like Future who already are like, they're blown out of the water. And then you got newer rappers who do like one, two, maybe three different types of flows on the same kind of beats, you know? And I'm older now, so I don't be listening to newer artists as much. But somebody who I'm just trying to listen for the vibe of, if they not already developed some way, it just don't be connecting with me because I can't see the vision of like what they trying to go for. Maybe I'm just dumb. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm listening to this album. Some of it is good. Some of it made me move. But other times, I'm rolling my eyes at some of the bars and what he's saying. Like you guys were saying, he says what comes to his mind. He's trying to just make stuff fit. I feel like it's not fitting. It's forced at some points. So I don't feel like the flow is all the way smooth all the time. I'm not feeling the flow the entire time. I mean, it kind of zaps me out of it a second. And I'm just like, wait, what am I listening to?
I think Ken Carson, like, I'm starting to see, like, I used to have that problem. Him and Destroy were more on the same level. I think this album put him above. He's the best artist besides Cardi and Opium. Homicide Gang, I'm not a big fan of. And it's funny to see Cardi doing the deep voice because that's kind of what they do sometimes. And even on this album, Ken, besides the high voice tracks, I think he kind of tried to get deep and menacing for his register a few times. For Ken, that was kind of creepy. I think overall, man, I got more than I expected from this project. Right. Mm-hmm. Spooky, you were one of the people that were like, man, this is gonna be dope. I was impressed to a certain degree because I was like, okay, like fighting my demons, that went hard. I was cold like the day it came out. I was like, shit, this sucks. Jennifer's Body, Drake co-signed that track, I think, too. And you can see why. It's catchy as hell. It's catchy as hell. So it's a good track. Like, that could be a slapper that I think a lot of people play if Ken gets a bigger fan base, right? I like Singapore too. The beginning of this album was flowing pretty well. And he kind of lost me near the middle and then near the end with some of the tracks, because it was like, okay, the versatility's in the beats, but I got to also kind of listen to what you're saying. And you lost me sometimes, but he started out pretty good.
Yeah, it's just really those like take you out of it lines that are just like, okay, that felt like he forced that line to put that in there. It's not even like he's like talking about nothing deep for it. So it's like when you force a bar, it really stands out. I'm not even getting punchline from this. Like I said earlier, the MILF bar where she's 36 years old.
It was funny though.
The thing about that bar though, it was flowing with what he was doing. He was like, I was fucking on a MILF. She was 36. Like the way he was just going with the beat, bro, it was just like going in. I don't mean to change like the topic or anything, right? Ahead, but we was talking about artists and like their rapping ability and their like flows and shit. So this motherfucker Ken got a song with Lone and Uzi.
Yeah.
And this is arguably one of the worst tracks on the album.
What?
One of the worst. There's a couple more that are contenders, but like I find that song to just be a complete change to what A Great Chaos should be. Which should be chaotic. Uzi talking about letting his white girl say, hey, what? Like, bro.
Yeah, and the jeans. I mean, I get they're into style and stuff, but that was kind of repetitive. Why my jeans fit like this?
Nah.
That was a letdown. That was a letdown.
Yeah, two other artists, Lone and Uzi. Uzi, I thought was going to fucking hit, but he just, I don't know what happened, man.
Maybe that's why Cardi doesn't get on tracks with him, though, because one, people might talk about him more than the artist, and two, it might sound forced like that, because Uzi, just like you, man, I thought they were going to come in and kill it, because you would think their sound would work because they'd be on that different alternative. Uzi could rage too, right? They just sounded kind of like out of place. It sounded like, okay, we can get Uzi as a feature, so let's do it. And if it takes off, it takes off. And it didn't really for me.
Uzi be talking about stuff that don't even sound real no more, bro. Like fucking on hoes and whatever. I'm like, bro, you got a whole girl at home, bro. Hold it
JT.
Down.
JT.
Hold it
be
down.
Checking you. She throwing her phone at you and checking you in front of everybody, and you over here talking about hoes too.
The carefree verses don't be hitting as much when you like, you know, 28, 30, bro.
I feel like what Ray said was perfect. It's Ken's album. I feel like Ken did so good by making it his album. Destroy Lonely had a really good song with him on Singapore. I feel like they both bounced off each other really good, and they usually always do that. A good example, Money and Sex. Great example.
Yeah,
right?
I thought Paranoid was really good, too.
It was all right.
It was all right.
It wasn't as good as Singapore.
They have a few tracks together that are good. That was not one of the better ones, and it kind of was just like, oh, that's part of the album. Hey, Deadly. Yo, okay, so you stick it up for Paranoid. We love to see it. What you like about Paranoid, brother?
That's one of his best flows, bro. Out of all the tracks, he's doing something. Yeah, bro. He was doing something nice on there. You didn't fuck with it?
Vampire Hour, I thought, was one of those tracks where he had a cool flow. I like
flows.
That.
Flows. We're talking about flows.
Yeah, I'm talking about flows. I'm talking about, like, paranoid. You know, he was a little bit, you know, like, drunk with it, where he was, like, slurring his words and stuff. I felt like he was a little bit more in the groove of, like, what I feel like he was trying to go for. I don't know exactly what he was trying to go for. I'm not trying to act like I know, but like I'm saying, like he seemed like a guy who got red in his cup. So, you know, he talking like me, him and her, and then I'm like, okay, bro, I see you. It's been, bro. Like, I got it for a little bit. Like, it, you know, I'm not deaf to it. That was one of the ones, man. That was one of the ones. And, you know, Lone kind of blended in pretty hard with Ken on that one. I felt like they were pretty indifferentiable, but like, I feel like that speaks on their chemistry, where, you know, they come on the track and, you know, they can kind of like switch out for each other. And, you know,
I definitely agree with like the whole like slurring his words, because that added to his flow. I like Paranoid. I'm just saying, like, it's a good song. Just I feel like Singapore was just better, in my opinion.
The beginning of Singapore,
bro. Oh, my God. I want to hear that in a concert, bro. There's no fucking way they was in that booth and not getting turned. Like, are you telling me like that shit was not on 10? Right. I feel like though with Paranoia, it's different, right? But I feel like Paranoia and Singapore, they're almost polar opposites when it comes to personal preference. And they're both good songs in their own rights.
I mean, it speaks on his versatility, man. So, you know, he got some little something cooking, bro. Pull Out of Red is still the best Opium album ever to be released. I mean, but that's just because it's goated, bro. So it's like, it's hard sometimes to listen to these albums and go in with expectations, because I mean, shit, man, like these guys are really new and they're doing really good for themselves. at this point in their career, got a hell of a lot of traction. They are on top of the underground scene right now, basically. Got all the listeners, 21 and under, I'm pretty sure, like, literally everybody listened to this. So they got something, bro. They could
they
get something.
They having that shit that, like, X had on them fucking high school people, where they just, like, had them on rotate. Yeah, bro,
that Juice World type grip on them.
Juice,
you know?
X, Ski, it's the same shit. Just different people.
But some would argue his aura.
I mean, yeah, they definitely appeal to younger people. I think more so Destroy Lonely. Like, he, and I think that's why it's interesting that he did a song with, like, Pink Panthers. Like, I think he, and that's where the difference with, like, he, I think he's more versatile in a way that he thinks about lyrics more, even though it's not anything there yet. I think he can be the more, the lyrics matter, because he's already set in place. He knows how to chill, lay back, and just talk to you. And he knows how to, like, do a hook where it's chill. Like, he's more about the melodies, while Ken is more in your face. And that's why they work well together, because it's, like, it's that different energy, even though they kind of do the similar thing. You feel me?
Yeah, they bounce off each other.
Mm-hmm. They got potential, man. You know, Deadly sounds like, you know, he don't see it. I see potential as far as, like, if they keep dropping albums, keep trying. Because one thing I did like about this is that he did take risks as far as, like, taking some time. His fans wanted a new album. Changed it up a little bit to the point where I noticed and was like, okay, if you keep doing this and maybe switch it up a little bit, you got something here. Because before with X, I did not fuck with X besides, like, Freestyle, like, the two of them, the two freestyles, and, like, X, MDMA, I think a few tracks on there, right? This one I mess with more tracks on. Give me more stuff like this, and maybe, like, hopefully the other artists in Opium take note. And it's like, okay, we can actually appeal to more people if we take some time between the albums. You know,
for sure, yeah.
Because Homicide drops a lot, and it's like, bro, you guys drop too much. Like, you're not taking that next step and just dropping the same turn up music. Ken, it worked, and it leaked before, and people were still buying it. So it's that's dope to see too. So keep it coming, man.
Yeah, I feel like with Ken, I've always kind of thought of Ken not like the best in Opium. I always thought of him as almost like the worst. I didn't really like his sound at all.
Same.
And it wasn't like individualized, and it was very like. You know, and I was just like, eh, I'm not really fucking with all that. And with this album, it completely changed my point of view of Ken. It, like, blew me out the water. I'm like, whoa, this is completely different than what you was cooking up literally last year. And, like, just, like, his, the way that he was able to, like, build off of that and grow from that shows how, like, he's able to grow as a rapper. And I am, like, super stoked to see, like, where he's going to take this and move on from that.
Hey, I'm glad someone here liked it a lot, though, because I mean, with that, because it's like, because what that tells me is that, no, because with some of these albums, bro, God. Deadly and I, we both don't like it, and then one person or, like, you know, we're talking to other people, and some of them like it, but, like, you're like, I heck of like it, I kind of see it, and Deadly's like, I don't see it. You know how on Fight My Demons, he goes, huh, like, that's his little thing. But I totally agree with that, man. It worked more on here too. It wasn't like forced. It wasn't like, oh, he's just doing that because he doesn't have rhymes. I think he's getting better at rapping in his own way. Because there was forced bars on here, but it wasn't as bad. Like, before, it would be like, man, why did you just say that? Like, now it was like, you said it and it was more so funny than bad. To me, most of the time. Maybe something will happen and it'll click for Deadly more.
You walk the line of sounding like you just saying some cringe shit, so you actually know what you're saying and you make it sound funny. I think that's like a line that a lot of rappers struggle with, and Ken is definitely on the better side of it, of knowing, being more self-aware and like saying stuff because it's funny, not necessarily because he just, you know, says stuff and whatever, right? You know, man, Ray finds the funniest ways to sneak diss, bro. He gonna hate an album, and then when it comes time to review, he gonna be like, hey man, I'm not all the way positive on this, I'm gonna say a couple things, but this was trash. But he gonna say it in the nicest way possible so that the artist's feelings aren't hurt, bro.
I just appreciate
him for that, because, you know, if this was Glorilla, bro, she would have blocked us already, bro. Like, you know,
I started out the gate saying I wasn't a big fan of this album, but I appreciated the songs I did get.
What's the funniest bar that y'all got? I want to know what to look out for. What a new Ken Carson fan should be on the lookout for when they listen to this. Let's give a top three tracks and funniest bar.
I'll go first. My top three tracks were Fight My Demons. That was probably my fave out the gate. Number two, Jennifer's Body. Like that one. And then three, I like Vampire Hour. So that's my three. And my funniest bar, one that made me laugh, was I nut on her face. Now she wears an eye patch like Slick Rick. That was hip hop history right there involved. So I like that. And two, it fit the theme. There you go, Ken. You got me with that one.
For my top three, I got Paranoid, then I got Vampire Hour, then I got Nightcore. I was getting into it more in the second half. I mean, the first half was cool, but I definitely felt like he was hitting a little bit harder in the second half. I was liking what was happening there, so that's
Nightcore
why I
had that
those
poppy
ones.
Beat, right?
Yeah, that one was interesting. I thought it was kind of funny what he was doing. He knows about hyperpop. You know, he knows what he's doing. I fuck with it. And then my funniest bar, you niggas couldn't fuck with me if you was a baddie. For real, bro. You know? And not today. No, sir. We locked in. Spooky, what you got, bro? All
right. So for my top three, it's going to be Singapore's favorite song off that album. Going to be Rockstar Lifestyle. And then it's going to be Me and My Cup. Hands down.
I thought about putting that one on there. Me and My Cup.
Like, I feel like Me and My Cup, just like the beat is just like, oh my God. My funniest bar is going to be from Me and My Cup. He says, this bitch a freak. This bitch let me fuck her anywhere. Shawty whip it out in front of my partner. She don't even care.
That was real.
Was it? You felt that one?
That's hard. That's hard.
Wait, Ray, you felt that one?
I just think it's funny how Ken Carson, throughout the album, he has this, I wouldn't say obsession, but he has this continued theme of a chick just grabbing his junk out of nowhere. He's in public. He's at someone's house. He's at the concert. She's grabbing his junk. It don't matter. He's a freaky motherfucker. That's why Ryan was doing that.
I agree. Like, wow. He's talking about, like, got her legs up. But he's just, like, talking about crazy shit. I didn't even know what he'd be saying half the time, bro. He'd just be saying shit, and I'm like, yeah.
Definitely not a family-friendly album whatsoever.
No.
There's nothing. Like, I feel like if you played this clean, it's like, that's one thing. Like, if he's trying to get bigger, I don't know how you're going to sell this. I mean, people slap music that's highly inappropriate and cusses, but it's pretty aggressive, and the lines are pretty vulgar sometimes. He's going to have to figure that out. If he wants to sell more, maybe it might work.
Only time will tell, man. But I feel like we're gonna be talking about him again, talking about more opium. This is our first opium review since Playboi Carti dropped Whole Lotta Red in 2020, when I put Spooky onto the opium scene, and now he is an expert in everything that is opium. So I just want y'all to know, man, that listen to your friend sometimes, man. Maybe he putting you on some shit. And then that friend who put you on probably need to listen right back, because he don't even understand what he put you on to.
You talk about me sneak dissing. You like, yeah, I just put you on your favorite artist to another artist. Yeah,
yeah,
so just listen.
Put you on. Come on,
you can't talk about
me. Hey, I put you on Yeet. Yeet wasn't even opium.
You notice he had to wait to the end to throw that too. He had to do that. He's gonna end it on that,
man. You come on here, bro. What you thought this was, bro? AC ain't here to save you, bro. He would have roasted your ass.
AC was never there for me.
AC would have roasted your ass too, bro.
Nah.
Yeah, what? Let me get Wavy J on here, bro. He roast you too, bro. What you thought this was, bro? It's hip hop babies, bro.
Hey, get him out here. We're not ones.
I ain't holding no punches on you. Hey, Ken Carson, man. Get your boy. He acting wild on here. But anyway, I was about to say, man, thank y'all so much for tuning in on this episode. Thank you so much, Spooky, for coming on here. Dope to have you on here, talking your shit, standing up for your artist, man. I always love having the different perspective. Just because, man, I mean, I feel like I ride hard for some artists, and nobody's there to check me and tell me that he's trash. So, you know, it's always good, man. You know, it's always good to have that back and forth. And Ken, it's all love, man. We wouldn't even be here today if we wasn't talking about your project. So thank you so much. Make sure y'all stream that album, AGC, A Great Chaos, one more time. It was a dope project, man. It was a good step in the direction for Opium as a label, and I think that they got a bright future, man. Make sure y'all follow us, like, comment, subscribe, put us on the Instagram, on Twitter. I am Spooky on Twitter for this guy right here.
You got everything.
And everything, especially Twitch too. So, you know, make sure y'all go follow the boy. Give him a little sub.
I'm Spooky, obviously. Yeah, I'm Spooky on everything. YEAIMSPOOKY. Yeah, I'm Spooky on everything. Twitch, Twitter, Insta, Xbox. Add me, bro. We gonna run our Fortnite OG map. We gonna go crazy. You already know. I'm on everything, bro. I stream every weekday at 8 p.m. Exactly. PST. Bay Area. You already know.
With that being said, peace.